I don't know about you, but at the end of the year, I always go into like reflection mode, right? After Christmas, I don't know, usually like I like to put the tree up and sing the Christmas carols even like a few days after. My son hasn't gotten the concept of quitting singing Christmas carols. So it's about February and he's still asking for jingle bells. And I'm like, no, son, we're not going to do jingle bells. Let's come up with a different song, right? And he's, jingle bells, daddy, play jingle bells. I'm not playing jingle bells in Valentine's Day. It's just not going to happen. And so there's, by the way, we live in Alabama, son, and there's no snow out there. So none of us are getting in a sleigh. Every single year about this time, at the very end of the year, in the beginning of the next year, I go into a reflective moment. I don't know if you're like me, but as one year ends and another begins, I begin to personally take account for my life. And I think of the good. You can go to that slide. I think of the good things in my life. I think this last year I got to have my second son, Judah. I was so excited. It was such a cool thing. He's such a happy baby. I love looking at his smiling face and the way he laughs and giggles. And it's been a great year for us with our family. I got to watch my son Josiah turn 2, which was incredible. He watching him talk and interact and play around and sing worship songs and do things that just move my heart sometimes, you know. Something else good that happened this year, the Varsity Radio Show, something God placed on our hearts a few years ago, turned 2 years old. And we've gotten to interview over 200 athletes and speak to interact with over 10 different schools in this county. And that was a really cool anniversary. This year, Sarah and I had our 12th wedding anniversary. That was should have been like the first thing I talked about. But I'm just now thinking about that. Anyway, we had 12 years of marriage, and I am more in love now than I've ever been, and she is amazing. But 12 years of marriage, the week after we started ministry, so 12 years of full-time ministry, and now I feel like an older youth pastor, which when I started in my 20s, I never thought I'd feel that way, but I'm there. And I think about the things that we celebrate, the things that have been good in those 12 years, the ups, the happy times, the kids that I've got to encounter, the ones that we've got to impact, the people we've had in our living rooms that we've cried together and been at the altar together with. But then, and all of us have it, we have the struggle times, right? There's inevitably regrets, and these are the things that keep you up at night. I don't know about you, but I've had times in my life when I'm going through things, it's hard to sleep sometimes. Or there's times, anybody else go through that other than me, or is it just like me? Straight? Thank you, 5 people raising. I appreciate you. Yeah, we're relating this morning. But I go through struggles. And as I'm going through those struggles, certain things in my life, like events are going on or things are happening, and I may start to sleep, but I wake up and then it's really hard to go back to sleep because I have regrets. I always have regrets that things that didn't go my way, conversations I've had, actions I've taken, regrets in my life. This is baggage. This is the stuff that makes it hard to sleep in the middle of the night. Not being a good enough husband, not being a good enough dad or a youth pastor, an employee or a son. The struggle of my mind is real. And I'm just being honest with you. I deal with that. I may have credentials on my wall, but I still deal with things like that. I still go through struggles. And the baggage will follow you, right? It constantly reminds you of how unperfect you are, how unwonderful you do things. How many married people do I have in the room? Raise your hand. How many of you have ever said something to your spouse that you like immediately, like mid-sentence, wish you could take back? Anybody? Yes, me, all the time. Amen. Right? We go through that. And then we deal through that because the minute we say it, there's consequences for our mouth and our actions. And not only that, we are instantly regretful because we shouldn't have said it in the first place. And so I don't know about you, but we deal with this. And at the end of every year, there's baggage. There's baggage in our life, and it seems to follow us around all year, right? Like, and just when we think we have it whooped, it's there, and it keeps following us. And I think I got it all together, but we have this baggage, and it consistently chases us. It follows us. There's, like I said, conversations. We have things like that. But there's a baggage as a Christian that I feel cripples us far beyond what I imagine that baggage usually is, and that's unforgiveness. Every time somebody will ask me, what are you preaching on? If I'm in youth or something, like an adult or something, I'll say unforgiveness. Like, oh, that's good. Oh, that's good. I bet that's going to minister to a lot of people. Why? Because we deal with hurt and pain because we're human, and we deal with situations, and it constantly happens to us. See, but the baggage as a Christian I feel may cripple us is unforgiveness. Unforgiveness can become the ghost that haunts you and ruins your joy, your peace, and your future, right? How many of you have ever been in a fight before, right? You fought somebody, like, I'm not talking about, like, fist fighting. Maybe you have, but you verbally fighting it, and you're, like, you're having it, you're exchanging this conversation, right? And at the end, right, I don't know if you've ever been like me. Like, when I was a teenager, like, I used to go to school, and somebody would say something mean to me, and it was like, I don't know why this happened like an hour later, but I'm like, I should have said this, right? I could have been such a boss if I said that, right? I could have dropped the mic on him. Why is this happening to me like an hour later? And I would go into my room, and I remember laying on my bed, and I'm sitting there thinking about everything I should have said, everything I wish I would have done. And as I'm sitting there, I'm getting so mad, right? Anybody? Man, I feel like I'm the only one going to be answering the altar call today. Are y'all with me, or is this just me, okay? Woo! Okay, thank you for being here for my therapy session, okay? You're welcome. But as I'm up in the room, I'm thinking about, man, I should have said this. Man, if I would have just done this, like, you know? And I'm going through this in my mind, and I'm like, I could have gotten them, you know? And I'm regretful immediately. But have you ever had someone that made you mad, right? Everybody has, right? What is some of the first things you do after an argument, though? It's like that, isn't it? You instantly think, and we have this statement in America, right? Don't get mad, get even, right? Yeah. And man, some of us are good at that. Don't get mad, get even. Like, that's our statement. It's like life statement. I'm going to put that on a pillow. Don't get mad. Get even. And some of us do. And some of us, we hold that bound to us. And you know, I want to say this morning. God's trying to give you promise, give you the promise, a future, a destiny. But too often your hands are so full of baggage because you're carrying things people have done to you. And you're struggling. You don't understand. Why has God not moved me to the next area of my life? Why has God not blessed my family? Why has God not moved me? Why am I not further along in my Christian life? Why? Why every time something starts to go right, it seems to go wrong? And God has a promise for us. He has the promise. This is a beautiful new suitcase that I didn't know I was getting until Christmas. But it worked out perfect for my illustration. But God has promises for us, but we're too busy carrying the beat up, broken down, ragged suitcase, right? I got this suitcase. I took it on a missions trip, and I don't know what they do to it in the airport, but they're not very nice. And this thing got beat up. Anybody else have luggage like that? But we carry with us constantly, constantly. See, God has a destiny for you, but you're so full of your offense. You've held back this thing. But they hurt me too bad, God. But they did too much to me, God. But God, in this whole time, you think you're really hurting them. You know what I've learned in life? When I'm dealing with unforgiveness, why is it the other person sleeps so well? Why are they not hurting like I am? You know what I've learned? Forgiveness is more for me than for my enemy. Forgiveness sets the prisoner free in my mind when I find out that I was the prisoner to begin with. And I carry it with me because, you know what, I'm going to stay mad at that person. They did me wrong. I can't believe they did that to my kids. I can't believe they said that. I can't believe that they went through this with me. And we hold this thing closer and closer to us, and we carry it with us. And they did this to me, and I'm never gonna forgive them. We say we forgave them, but we really don't. Because when they walk up, you know, all of a sudden, not saying that you shouldn't remember, but you say you forgive them, but every time they come up, like, you try to find a ditch out effort. You try to get somewhere else where they're not. You ever been there? I have. Oh, I've forgiven, but I don't want to be in the same room with that person. Oh, really? And so today I want to talk about baggage to you. I want to talk to you about stuff, baggage that we carry, comparison, hurt from friends and family, unforgiveness, negative words to each other. And there's facts of forgiveness. See, there's two kinds of people in all of our lives that we need to forgive. The first is others. And the Bible states this over and over and over and over again. And we can't find our self-worth on what others think of us. We must only place that responsibility in Christ. We've got to forgive others. See, we can forgive others. We have two options. We can either forgive others or we can pick up more baggage. But I'm a Christian, Pastor Seth, and I forgave that person. Have you really? Or is it still following you? When you hit the room, the other room, is it still there? I can think all the way through ministry of people who have hurt me. From pastors to board members to youth leaders to kids. I poured my heart out to those kids. I did for them and did for them. And then they did that. Seriously? Or I did for that youth leader over and over, and I was there for their family. I was at the hospital when they went through something. I went to those funerals. And they did that to me? Seriously? And it carries along, right? Like, the more unforgiveness in my heart, the less effective it is to minister, right? Because I can't help anybody if I'm carrying this, right? If Dale's over there drowning, then, I mean, I can throw the suitcase at you. It's pretty heavy. And I'm probably going to injure you and make it worse. But I can't do anything because my hand's grasping. I'm going to hold this against that person. See, when you don't deal with your baggage, you pass it on. See, that's the thing about sin and other things that we don't realize. Like, when we do something sinful, it doesn't just affect us. It affects our family, our friends, our circle of influence, the people around us. And so when we sin, we pass it on. You know, you hear the good thing. I love it, the pay it forward method, right? And so that can be a good thing, but it can be a bad thing too. If I'm paying forward something terrible, right? And then the second thing I want to talk about is forgiving ourselves. Now, this hits us pretty hard right here because some of us, we are pretty good at forgiving others, but when it comes to me, God may have forgiven your sin, but you won't forgive your sin. God may have forgiven you, but you won't let go of it. And 1 John 1:9 says, but if we confess our sins to Him, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. That says if we give our sins up, God forgives us. Now, there's steps we need to take. There's things we need to do. But when God forgives you, God forgives you. It's at that point we need to forgive ourselves. I'm not saying that we do the same thing over again. That's not what but I am saying that we forgive ourselves because we've asked for forgiveness and God covered it on the cross and He came to save us. This isn't the grace covers everything you do, just do whatever you want. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is when you've asked for forgiveness and God's given it to you, you need to walk in that. You don't need to keep carrying the unforgiveness to yourself, just like you do others. We are our worst critics, and we can devastate ourselves. I don't know about you. It just takes me about 30 seconds. I can be in a bad place. I can be very critical of me. And Bob Formby, he posted something on Facebook. He got a little scared when I said that, I know. One day, and I thought it was so good. I know he was just reposting a meme, but it says, if you never heal from what hurts you, you'll bleed on people who didn't cut you. And that's so good. You will never, it said one more time, if you never heal from what hurts you, you'll bleed on people who didn't cut you. And that's so true. What does that mean? We got to forgive ourselves. We got to work through our hurt and the unforgiveness in our heart and the unforgiveness to ourselves sometimes, because if we don't, it's going to spread out on everybody around us. Moms and dads out there, raise your hand, mom, and get moms and dads out here. Have you ever had a bad day before? Like you start out and nothing went right. I'm going through toddler stage right now in my house. And I tell you what, I love my boy. He's the greatest. I love him so much. But sometimes it just feels like he's trying to get on my nerves, right? It just feels like when he takes something, like throws it, I'm like, I told you not to do that. Like, and then I go to pick it up as he's throwing something else. And like, it's just escalating in my heart, my mind, right? And I'm getting upset. But I've learned if I'm frustrated and I'm upset, most often that spreads to my wife and my kids. It doesn't just stay here. And I don't know about you parents, if you've ever been in that position before. But you can be honest. If you get mad, it spreads. It's hard. It's hard for your spouse to be happy if you're not. It's hard for your kids to be happy if you're upset. Is this ministering to anybody but me? This is God. Yes, okay, this sermon I know was for me. Very often, God has forgiven you, but you won't let yourself move on because you are penalizing yourself. And the second thing I want to say about unforgiveness, as much as you may want to hold a grudge, remember, someday it's going to be your turn for forgiveness. I know when we're going through the heat of the battle, we're like, we want to hold that grudge. We want to be mad. But how many of you have ever made a mistake before and you needed forgiveness from somebody? How many of you have ever dropped the ball before? It was your fault. You made the dumb statement. You made the dumb mistake. You did something you shouldn't have done, and you know you shouldn't have done it, and it was on you, and you needed forgiveness. And when you went to that person asking for forgiveness, did you want it immediately, or did you want it to be held over your head for a year? Immediately. Man, we're so much more vile and mean to other people than we would be to ourselves. And there's this good story in the Bible. I didn't pull the reference. It just hit me as I was standing over there about the guy who went to the debtor, and he like owed this king like $100,000. And he's begging him, hey, I have wife, I have a kid, I have wife, a wife and kids. If you'll just forgive me, please forgive me this debt, because he's about to lock him up in jail for like not paying back his debt. And he's like begging him, please forgive me. And what does the king do? He forgives him, right? But then what happens? He goes to this guy that owes him like $100. And this guy's begging him, please forgive me, please. And the guy just forgave him $100,000. And he's asking for $100 forgiveness. And he's like, nope, I'm going to throw you in jail. Seriously. This is in the Bible, y'all should read it. It's a good book. He forgives him. No, he won't forgive the guy that owes him like $100. Like, seriously? And what happens? The king finds out, throws him in jail. Like, dude, you messed up. And so now you're going to pay the penalty that I was going to make you pay to begin with. And I want to say it like this. Nate, come here. Nate is an awesome guy. So I want you to take these two pieces of luggage right there. Thank you. And I'm going to hold these two. Here's what we do in real life, though. You know, when somebody offends us, we look at them, and even though our luggage is like the same, like or the same weight and everything, we're like, yeah, but his is a little more damaged. Look at this guy, right? He's a bigger sinner than I am, right? The whole time. The whole time when somebody offends us, we forget that we have this offense around us, and we're like looking at the other person like they don't deserve forgiveness. The whole time we're holding on to our bags. He doesn't deserve it. He likes his bag is a little more dinged up on the back than mine, so he's a little worse off than me. So he should be more sad, more understanding than me. And we judge, we compare ourselves. Forgetting that we're all knuckleheads and that God died on a cross because we mess up all the time. Forgetting that God came to take all of our baggage, but we look at somebody else who's offended us and we're like, yeah, but what they did's worse than what I'm doing. In reality, it's not. That's good, Nate. I just wanted you to be up here. You did great. Did really good holding that suitcase. Give him some love right there. Give him some. He held that suitcase better than anybody right there. Isn't it funny how we do that, though? They hurt me a little more than I hurt somebody else. And I'm not making fun of your hurt. I mean, I have been hurt by a pastor I've worked for before. I did not want to see the man anymore. I've had a board member stab me in the back. I was upset with him till one day I was at a service, a youth camp service, and God said, you know what? I blessed you with everything that you've asked for. And you know what? I'm not going to pour out one more ounce of my anointing until you forgive him. Oh, man, it's great when, you know, you get to be the one holding the grudge, but then somebody's going to mess you up. You're going to mess up. I don't know how perfect you are, but I'm not. And that day, you know what I did? God, please forgive me. I forgive him. And immediately my ministry started doing better. Not that it was hurting. God placed me exactly where he wanted me, and he made me happy, but I was still holding a grudge. I didn't even want to talk to the guy. God's so good. How many of you have done anything dumb that you needed forgiveness for? Raise your hand. Yeah, okay. How did you want that person to treat you? We just discussed it. We wanted forgiveness immediately. How many of you have been hard to live with? Raise your hand. If you're not, you're lying, okay? God's going to have to forgive you in a minute. Anyway, how many of you have made it a struggle to be around sometimes? Yeah. Man, this feels good, right? We're having therapy together. We're working through this. We're so guilty of being the problem sometimes, aren't we? And Ephesians 4:31 through 32 says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. I think we forget that so much. See, God took our baggage. He took our mess. You know, nobody may know what your mess is, but I bet all of you have mess. You may have been able to hide it, and nobody else knows about it, but God does. And I love in the scripture where it says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What does that mean? While you were a bonehead, I still died for you. Even though you're not easy to be around sometimes, even though you keep making that mistake, even though I died for you, I knew you were going to mess up. I knew you were going to drop the ball, but I died for you. And this is my last point. Unforgiveness cripples us. Unforgiveness cripples us. It's like I said, as long as I have luggage in my hand, I can't reach out for God's promises, nor can I help Deborah or Sierra or Dale. As long as I'm holding on to this, I'm ineffective. Really, I've rendered myself pretty useless. And as long as I hold on to this, there's not much good I can be. God forgave you. Unforgiveness cripples us. See, your ability to forgive locks or unlocks your future and your destiny. I said, that's harsh. That's just you talking. Well, Jesus actually said this in Matthew 6, 14 through 15. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. I don't know if that scripture scares you, but it terrifies me. And this is not a disciple talking. This isn't Matthew talking. This is Jesus himself. This is in red letters. Jesus himself. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. If there's never been a better time to get rid of your unforgiveness and your baggage, it's after that scripture. What you continue to carry with you will constantly, you'll constantly be cursed to relive. What you continue to carry with you, you'll constantly be cursed to relive. You think you're doing yourself good. You think you're holding something over somebody else's head. In reality, you're only hurting yourself. And like I've said, I know 3 or 4 times, so please forgive me, but my mom used to say this to me when I'd go through something like this in high school. Unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. It's not going to help you. It's going to eat you alive on the inside, and you're the only one that suffers. And so this last year, 2019, there was this really cool story, right? There was this cop. Her name was Amber Geiger, who accidentally, killed? She says she accidentally, I don't know, I'm not the judge or the jury, but killed somebody thinking, I don't know. I don't even know the full case. But there's a really cool moment with Brant Jean. And I'm about to show it to you on a video. The brother of the guy that got killed forgives this woman. Check this clip out.
Say it twice or for the 100th time what you or how much you've taken from us. I think you know that. But I just... I hope you go to God with all the guilt, all the bad things you may have done in the past. Each and every one of us may have done something that we're not supposed to do. If you truly are sorry, I know I can speak for myself. I forgive you. And I know if you go to God and ask Him, He will forgive you. And I don't think anyone could say it. Again, I'm speaking for myself, not even bad for my family. But I love you just like anyone else. And I'm not gonna say I hope you rot and die just like my brother did, but I personally want the best for you. And I wasn't gonna ever say this in front of my family or anyone, but I don't even want you to go to jail. I want the best for you. Because I know that's exactly what both of them want you to do. And the best would be give your life to Christ. I'm not gonna say anything else. I think giving your life to Christ would be the best thing that both of them would want you to do. Again, I love you as a person. And I don't wish anything bad on you. I don't know if this is possible, but can I give her a hug, please? Please?
Yes.
I don't know if y'all noticed, the judge didn't answer him because she was crying. Because you know what? You know what Brant just discovered right there? Forgiveness is freeing. Forgiveness, I saw it. I don't know if you did in the middle of that. It gets me every time. But in the middle of that, what he forgave her for, you watch it break off of him. And you watch compassion rush in and forgiveness that only our Father in heaven could give. Can you play that music, but really low? And that's one of the most powerful things that happened this year, I personally think. See, forgiveness is always freeing. It releases us from the prison that we put ourselves in. Forgiveness is something we want to hold because we want that person to pay. But what if Jesus did that to us? What if he made us pay penance? What if he made us do what some religions and whatever, you got to do this and this and this and this before I forgive you? No, Jesus came to give you the best. He came to give you everything he had. But as long as your hand's on the other suitcase, you'll never have his promise. You'll never have his future. You'll never have his destiny for your life. You will live with leftovers. Do not allow your ability to hold a grudge and build a wall keep you from the good things God desires to give you and do in you. Let me say this, as long as your hands are on the bags, you are unable to help or better yourself or anybody else. You're not. You may think that you've done a really cool thing or that you've shown them, but in all honesty, you're drinking poison. And I bring this to you. I realize this is a hard message. If you're honest with me today, you'll all be honest and say, I've dealt with this or I'm dealing with this. And honestly, some of you are still lingering. Most of us are still lingering with somebody who's hurt us, who's done us wrong, who's done things. Listen, and hear me say this. Some of those things were terrible, horrible, God-awful. But I want to say this. Forgiveness is not for them, it's for you. And God wants to heal you. God wants to give you promises. God wants to give you a future. God wants to give you a destiny. God wants to take you into 2020 a different person. He doesn't want you to live with leftovers and beat up baggage. He doesn't want you to come in dragging what you've always had before. He doesn't want you to have to live like this. No, God wants to give you best. He wants to give you promises, giftings, abilities, love, compassion. the gifts of the Spirit, peace, love, joy. Everybody stand up, bow your heads, and close your eyes. Today, you may have held on to some things for a while. You may have held grudges for a while. And I want to say to you, like Brant in this video, what an incredible young man. I don't even want you to go to jail. I don't even want you to serve your sentence. I want the best for you. How many of you could say that if they killed somebody close to you? That's the heart of Christ. That's the heart of Christ. And today, God wants to heal you. God wants to restore you. God wants to give you a future, a dream, a destiny. But as long as you hold on to the past, as long as you hold on to your grudge, as long as you hold on to what you need to say or what you ought to say, you're never going to move forward. You're never going to move forward. God can't give you His promises if you don't let go of the baggage in your life. Holy Spirit, I come to you today. I pray that you would touch our hearts. God, I realize that people are honest. 100% of this room have dealt with this. 100% of this room have struggled with this. Most people are probably still lingering on somebody who's hurt them, done them wrong. God, I pray this morning that you would let us release that. Holy Spirit, we want your best. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're in this room and you say, I'm the chief of sinners. I'm the one. I'm carrying baggage because I've never given my heart to Jesus. I've never released it to Him. I've never asked Him to come into my heart. Or when I was a kid, I asked Him to come into my heart. But I hadn't lived like it. I'm not living the life. To be honest with you, I'm what you call backslidden. I say I'm a Christian because I was saved in like Sunday school or VBS or something like that. But honestly, I don't have an encounter with God very often. If that's you in this room, you want to accept Jesus in your heart. You want the greatest forgiveness that's ever been given and ever will be given. The one that forgives you, takes the sin out of your life, and helps you to move forward. If that's you in this place, I just want you to raise your hand. Nobody's looking around. I'm not going to embarrass you. But that's me, Pastor Seth. That's me. Yeah. Man, we see that hand. At the end of service, our pastor is going to be up here. I want you to come up at the end of service. He's going to pray with you. Anybody else? I don't want you to miss this moment. This is a moment that God's saying, I forgive you. I forgive you. I forgive you. You're not too bad. You're not too ugly. You're not too beat up. You're not too... If that's you, last chance. And I'm going to move forward. It's me. I want to accept Him into my heart today. All right. Moving forward. If you'll be honest, like I said, just being real with you. If I could poll this room and we could really see, I think all of us have something that we hold a grudge against. I think all of us hold something. And this is not me saying you're a bad person if you don't come to the altar. But this is what I want to ask you. If you're in this room and you know there's some unforgiveness in your heart, not that you're a terrible, horrible person, but you want to get it out. You want God's promises for you. You want all that He has for you, even if it's just a little bit. Even if it's something that you go back to every now and then. You're like, ah. That's you in this room and you know you want to do like Brant did. You want to give forgiveness. It may be you that needs to forgive yourself. That's what I was saying. But you need to do that today. I just want you to raise your hand. That's me. Yeah. 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 I either need to forgive myself or somebody else. And if you raised your hand, which is a huge amount of people in this room, I just want you to find a spot around this altar. Right now, if you'll just begin to come. God wants to heal you. God gave me this message over a month ago for this moment. God wants to heal you today. You can hold on to it. You can hold on to it. You can keep that grudge. You can keep making that person at least pay in your mind, but it'll never go away until you forgive them. Remember what I said, forgiveness isn't for them, it's for you. Now, if I have elders or leaders, our prayer team, will you begin to just circle around? I want you to pray for people. Pastor, if you want to take this moment, you...
Praise you, God. I just challenge you, whether you're standing down here or not, don't take your baggage into a new year. Don't take your baggage into a new year. Need to be free. If you want a new start in a new year, this is the first place to start, is leaving your baggage in the old one. Why don't you just pray with me? Whether you're here, you're standing back there, would you just pray, Father, thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you, Father, that you have taken our sin away. You have covered it at great price to yourself in the death of your Son. And we thank you for forgiveness of our sin, Lord God, that stood against us and separated us from you. Thank you. Thank you for cleansing our conscience. Thank you, Lord, for healing our wounds. Thank you for tearing up the debt we owed to you that we could not pay, but you paid it for us and set us free. Thank you. And Lord, today we ask you, help us release those who have sinned against us. Help us, Lord, to tear their debt up and say, you owe me nothing. Though you may have taken much, you owe me nothing. Because God forgave me, I forgive you. Now, Lord, I know that that is the decision of the will. We have to decide we will extend that forgiveness to those who have hurt us. Lord, help us see clearly our own need for forgiveness and what you have given us. Help us see it clearly and help us see that those that have hurt us. They deserve the same thing that you've offered us. So Lord, now we tear that debt up. No more will I hold it against them. No more. With the help of your Holy Spirit, every time this comes up in our hearts and minds, we say they are free. They owe me nothing. Jesus paid their debt too. Now, Father, I understand that after we do that, we still have pain in our hearts. There's still a wound there, even though we've torn debts up, there's a wound. And right now, Father, I pray you would heal the wound of every heart, of every person that's been hurt, every person that's been betrayed, every person that has been neglected, every person that's been abandoned, every person, oh God, that's been slandered, every person that's been slighted, every person, oh God, that's been left out, every person that's been devalued somehow by someone else. I pray you would heal their heart today. Let the healing begin now in Jesus' name. Now. Only you can take the pain away. Only we can release them from deadness, indebtedness to us, but only you can heal our pain. And we ask you to do it. We ask you, take the pain away. Heal it. Use it. Now, Father, I pray that the peace that passes understanding would flood in behind our willingness to tear up others' debts to us, our willingness to be healed. I pray your peace that passes understanding would just flood into souls right now. Right now. Right now. Just a calmness, Lord, that let the stress and the strife that comes from woundedness, Lord, let it just ease up right now. Let there be a rest in our soul. A rest in our soul. Pull the luggage from our fierce grip. Let our hands relax and surrender it to you completely. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 If you're standing down here, would you just raise both of your hands up to heaven right now as just a sign? I've surrendered this to you. I've surrendered it to you. I don't want this baggage anymore. It's yours. I tear the debt up. I ask for healing. And Lord, I release the baggage. I won't carry this anymore. Every time the enemy reminds me of this baggage, I will say, no, they are forgiven just like I'm forgiven. Every time the enemy wants to poke this healing wound, I say no. The love of God is healing my heart, and I refuse to have it disturbed. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Praise God. Can you say amen to that prayer? Amen. Amen.